This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington.
And I'm Renee Montaigne in Vatican City. Italian authorities are using text messages and going on the radio in an effort to steer pilgrims away from St. Peter's Square. By this morning, the flow of pilgrims into the basilica where Pope John Paul lies in state had turned into a great river, though not a rushing one. Inch by inch, the faithful made their way. Victor Perez came out of the basilica and we spoke to the 26-year-old. He said he had flown from Spain yesterday and walked in line all night long.
16 hours.
You walked or stood in the line for 16 hours.
16 hours. Yesterday from 3 p.m. No sleep, eat, and we try to pray.
That is.
So you've just come out. Was it very powerful to see the Pope?
Not to see the Pope, but it's important for us to be here for him, not to see the Pope. I have not made any photograph of the Pope, we must do this for him.
Would you do that again, 17 hours in line? If you knew it was going to be 17 hours?
Now not, maybe tomorrow.
NPR's Sylvia Pajoli joins me now on St. Peter's Square. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Sylvia, Victor Perez is among what officials here say were a million pilgrims who passed through St. Peter's Basilica in just the last 24 hours. You live here. What are Romans making of this?
Well, you know, first, many of those lining up are Romans, and the city is plastered with posters put up by City Hall, posters of the Pope that say, "Thanks, Holy Father," and "A good man." There's also, you know, a sense of pride at once again being for a few days, as it was in antiquity, Caput Mundi, the capital of the world. You know, Romans have always had a conflictual relationship with the papacy until just a little over 100 years ago. The popes were the rulers of Rome. Edicts were made in the name of Il Papa Re, the Pope King, and because of tough censorship, the only way Romans could vent their criticism was by leaving anonymous limericks and satires against the Pope on what were known as talking statues. Well, last night I was walking by the most famous one, the Pasquino, and there was a note posted with a limerick saying, "Thank you, our Polish sovereign Pope." John Paul did a lot to ingratiate himself with the Romans, who are kind of sassy, in-your-face people. He once even talked to them with a Roman accent, which is kind of, you know, the equivalent of a New York, you know, Brooklyn accent, and the Romans loved it.
Sylvia, how does Victor Perez, this young pilgrim from Spain, fit into the picture of the faithful?
Well, you know, he's like many thousands of other young Europeans who flocked to John Paul's big mega youth events, those who chanted JP2, "We love you." But if you talk to them, you find that very few of them follow John Paul's very strict dogma on issues of sexual morality. You know, it's been said that the Pope filled the squares, but not churches. And look at Italy and Spain, two traditionally Catholic countries, have just about the lowest birth rates in the world. Surveys show that religion is just not a very high priority among Europeans. I once asked a French bishop, where have all the Catholics gone? And he told me they've become kind of like religious pagans, picking a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of yoga, a little bit of that. And, you know, while churches in Europe are getting emptier and more makeshift mosques are cropping up as the influx of Muslim immigrants continues. So in the way the Cold War shaped the early part of John Paul's papacy, the relationship with Islam will be one of the major issues of the next papacy. And the dialogue will be with the growing number of Muslims living in Europe, once the heart of Christendom.
Sylvia, thanks very much.
Thank you, Renee.
NPR's Sylvia Pajoli joining me just outside St. Peter's Basilica.